Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us today on Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Again, very grateful to have this opportunity to come to you each and every weekday and share with you the wonderful news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is our ultimate hope in this world of chaos, in this world of darkness, and in this world of sin. Well, the last few weeks, if you've been with us, we have been mining through Romans chapter 7, and all of that work and all of that detail and great thought to come to this point today where the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a glorious passage. It's a passage that should make every Christian fall down in joy, thanking their Lord for what He has done, that we can live totally assured that we do not have condemnation, that we will never face the wrath of God for our sins because we are in Christ Jesus, because He has satisfied the demands of the law and took and become the curse for us, freeing us from what is to come upon this unbelieving world who are outside of Him. Well, that's what we're considering this week. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. One of the things that has moved me about the book of Romans is how Paul never grows weary of talking about the gospel. Remember, gospel is the word evangelion, which means good news. Paul never wearied of this. In fact, it was at the heart of every message that he preached. Remember, he cried often to the Corinthians, "Woe is me if I do not preach Christ and Him crucified." That was the core of his message. A while back, a Modern Reformation magazine presented an issue entitled Christless Christianity. And the basic summary of that article and those articles in that issue was to say that we have prevailed and done an excellent job of keeping Christ out of the message in our land. Well, I would suggest this week we're running up against, as we consider this, the devil's great success in the church. He has come as an angel of light. He has ministers as ministers of righteousness. And what have they done? Well, two of his ways of accomplishing this Christless Christianity is first to make people think they are so good and have done so well in this life and that they are very moral people, that the gospel is for the unbelievers, the bad people. And so in reality, because they're looking for more law to justify their self-righteousness, sadly what tends to happen is that the gospel is wearisome and boring. New laws are then created, and therefore who gets devalued? Well, Christ and His gospel. But the other tactic is to make the sinner feel so rotten that they in no way can believe in a God who would love them and justify them. And so we're looking at the two extremes, right? And many right now hearing the law, and when they hear the law of God crush them, they stay there. And they are unwilling to believe that the God of heaven and earth could simultaneously love them as sinners in Christ in the gospel. And then on the other hand, you have those who wallow, of course, in this woe is me syndrome, never thinking their lives have any value before God. And who gets devalued on the opposite side of the ditch again? Christ and His gospel. For them, they are quite happy to let their sin remain a greater weight than the shed blood of Christ. And so sadly, both groups are content to remain under the law. At the end of the day, both of these approaches, which characterize two extremes, end up with the same problem: uncertainty, lack of assurance, which really all becomes a crisis of faith. I suppose if I had to pick who is most prepared to hear the gospel, really hear it so as to have a life-changing moment and experience, it would be those who really have come to see clearly their sin. For they have been groomed to hear of God's way of escape. The worst kind of so-called person to deal with is the Pharisee. You see, what the Pharisee hated the most about Christ was that he exposed their hearts. And these sort of people are the most difficult to deal with. Jesus made this very clear with that woman who came to him. And remember that woman in the gospel? She began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed Jesus' feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. It's a very moving scene. Jesus wanted you to understand very clearly two kind of mindsets in the hearts of people. This is what we read in that account in Luke 7. Now when the Pharisees, who had invited him, saw this, so that was this woman washing his feet with her tears. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." What did Jesus say? This was his response, and I scroll down a bit to get to the main point. "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Do you understand that, friends? It sums up everything this week in Romans chapter 8. The Pharisee in the church has no burden over his sin. As a matter of fact, he shoves it under the carpet. And he goes on in willing presumption with his affluent, prosperous life in a posture of unconcern as he lifts himself up in his self-righteous life. But the one who truly sees the truth of the matter falls at the feet of Christ with tears and loves him much because they understand and have been forgiven much. See, this woman understood her wretchedness, but she did not remain in bondage, but she went forward to the feet of Christ with tears of thankful joy. We really are dealing this week with the subject of assurance. You see, it's all about assurance to those who struggle to believe that God could love them because of their sin. And this is a very real struggle. There are many maybe out there listening now that look back over their past and wonder, how could God really love me? Look at what I've done. Look at the damage. The damage is huge. It's unmendable. How could God love? To those who know this struggle, and Paul has explained back in chapter 7 that he went through a very similar thing and constantly did, and would cry out often, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And Christ says to you today, who have trusted in him, "In my arms, children, to you who have come to me like this woman who is outlined here in Luke 7, and who continue to face this ongoing struggle, you can live totally assured that you will never face my condemnation. You are free from the guilty sentence and stand acquitted before me forever." You know, my friends, one pastor observed that in church history, every time we see a real movement of the Spirit of God, you know what happened? There was a stirring among those who were false professors in the church, who had been so-called Christians in name, and yet had no interest in the Word of God, never read it, who had no interest in holiness, who were only going through the motions. All of a sudden, their minds and their hearts were opened to grasp their true condition. And for the first time, they realized how great their need was for Christ, and a whole hunger and thirst for the kingdom of God and his righteousness followed. Are you awakened to your condition? You see, Paul has presented some very difficult things in Romans chapter 7 under the inspiration of the Spirit. In fact, many ways, the verses in Romans 7 are some of the most heart-wrenching and depressing verses in all of the Bible. You remember Romans 7. "I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." So in other words, I had this great estimation of myself, says Paul. "There was this time in my life that I thought I was alive and I understood the real demands of the law. And all of a sudden, when they struck me right in the face, you know what happened? I died. The law killed. Meaning, I had all of a sudden, for the first time, a horrid realization that I could not keep God's righteous demands and His standards, and I died. I recognized that I was on this horrible path of destruction, and finally it brought an end to myself. And you remember last week, the words of verse 14, everything turned to the present in this section. This opened heart to the true demands of God's law created a huge burden in his life as a Christian. He says, here's what I'm finding. I'm doing all of these things I hate. I have this desire to honor the law of God, but I don't practice what I want to do. And then come two very depressing statements. In verse 18, he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Verse 23, I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. So he goes, wretched, miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Now that's not building up a lot of self-esteem, is it? You know the Christian self-esteem movement that says what? Just think good thoughts about yourself. This is what counselors are pushing into people all the time. Paul showed us the reality. I'm miserable, wretched, and nothing good dwells within me. Now, what's the answer? Well, the struggle makes us wonder if we're Christians. The struggle makes us wonder, if I'm going through this, how am I any different than an unbeliever? If I'm still continuing and finding in my life that I'm doing things that I don't want to do. And Paul is going to say to us this week, look, your struggle with your sin and the battle within you does not alter your status. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So that struggle, he's going to say, is the sign that the Spirit is in you. That struggle is the reality that goes on with the Christian, but it never annuls your status and the truth of justification by faith alone, that you stand acquitted before the throne room of God. And so your struggle with your sin should never make you doubt the truth of the matter, that in Christ Jesus you have been set free, and therefore through his blood, there is therefore now no condemnation.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.